3. Father, we are thankful for your goodness to us, your faithfulness. Thank you for blessing us so richly. Help us to always remember that every good thing we have all come from you, from your gracious and providing hand. I pray, O God, that as we come and bring our gifts to you, Lord, I ask that you will just help us to do so willingly, gratefully, joyfully. And I pray, O God, that through the faithful stewarding of the resources that you've entrusted to us, we will be able to lift up the name of Jesus and build his kingdom here on earth. I pray, O God, that as we listen to your word now, that, Lord, you release life, you release understanding, you release, O Lord, a refreshing. Help us, O Lord, to be attentive to your word and to receive your word deep into our hearts and into our spirits. In Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning. I want to welcome you again. I especially want to welcome David and Benjamin. And I want to say congratulations to David. David just graduated. It's a happy moment, not just for the C family, but for the Ferris Park family. It's real joy to celebrate this wonderful success. We are continuing our preaching on this church-wide Bible study that we have undertaken called The Scriptural Roots of Our Ministry. The plan is for the cell group to study SRM together. And then this will be followed up by preaching from the pulpit. So today we are looking at part 4 of section 1. Section 1 is about God and His revelation. And today we are looking at part 4, which is understanding the scriptures. And I've entitled this, The Heart of the Matter. So what I'm going to do is not to take us through all the questions, but to find a passage that I think will be able to encapsulate what this part is trying to teach us. John shared with our cell group this cartoon strip. Lord, please talk to me. Have you found yourself in such a position before, needing to hear from God? In Hebrews 1, verse 1 and verse 2, in the past God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, and through whom also He made the universe. So in the past, God spoke in various ways. God has been speaking through creation. We read about that in Romans chapter 1. And God has communicated to His people through angels, through His prophets, spoken to His people in dreams, in visions, through miracles. And sometimes He even used animals. He used the donkey once. So my encouragement is that if He can use the donkey, then He can use someone like me. But today, primarily, although God continues to speak to us through prophecy and dreams and visions, and sometimes we have visitation of angels, but primarily God speaks to us through His Word. What happened? It wouldn't come out, okay? It's supposed to be a picture of a Bible. Lord, please talk to me. And the Lord gave the Bible to this person. And so we are here today talking about how we can understand the Word of God. How many of you have problem understanding the Bible? Only one, huh? I think most of us, if we are honest, we have problems understanding the Bible. Some parts are very difficult to understand. And sometimes the difficulty is due to the language. I remember when I first came to church, people still used King James Version. King James Version. And so this person begat this person, and God hath spoken. He spake. You know, and it was very difficult to understand. So I praised the Lord when the NIV came out. And also sometimes we feel that our understanding of the Bible is hampered because we do not have the necessary skills like hermeneutics, which is the science of interpretation, especially of the Bible, of the Scripture. We do not have knowledge on exegesis, which is the critical interpretation of Scripture. Some of us say we really need to understand Hebrew or Greek. We need to have an understanding of biblical history and all that. And so because we lack all this knowledge, we have difficulty understanding the Bible. Now, I want to say, while all these things are important, they do not hamper understanding for people like you and me. We can understand the Bible. The Bible is accessible to all. One of the objections we received when we wanted to launch SRM was, this common argument, too difficult for this group of people, too difficult for that group of people. I want to ask that we put away this thinking, because if we say that it is too difficult, then we say that the Word of God, the Bible, is only accessible to people with a certain level of cognitive or intellectual ability. That is not true. The Bible is accessible to all, even to children. And God wants us to know that anyone can understand the Bible. Today I want to talk about the heart, the issue, the critical issue, the crux of the matter in understanding the Bible. It involves both the head and the heart. It involves the mind. It involves the heart. In SRM, we learn that the mind and the heart interrelate in the process of understanding Scripture. But I want to suggest to you this morning, while the mind is important, understanding the Bible is primarily a matter of the heart. It's a heart issue. The condition of our heart will determine how receptive we are to the Word of God, and ultimately whether we understand it or not. The condition of our heart will affect our grasp of God's truth. And today, I want us to look at a very familiar parable. You know, when I thought about this, immediately this parable jumped to me. It's the parable of the sower. Although I think that, a more apt title is really the parable of the soil. Not so much the parable of the sower. And I'm not contradicting the Bible here, okay? All right? I just feel like it's more apt to call this parable the parable of the soil. It's a familiar parable. It's found in all the three synoptic gospels. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to take from all the three gospels, from Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But I'm mainly going to concentrate on Matthew. The reason why I'm doing so is because I think that to look at all the three parables as recorded in these... If we look at the parable as recorded in these three passages of Scripture, we will be able to get a more complete picture and understanding of this parable. Now, in Matthew chapter 13, we understand that the seed, this parable specifically applies to the message about the kingdom of heaven. But if we look at Luke chapter 8, verse 11, then we understand that it not only applies to the message of the kingdom of heaven, it applies to all of God's word. Because Luke records for us, the seed is the word of God. The seed is the word of God. So today we want to look at really what is foundational, what is really the main issue in understanding the Bible. It's the matter of the heart. Even before knowledge of interpretation comes into the picture, first we need to settle the issue of the heart. So let's look at Matthew 13. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still, other seed fell on good soil, where it produced the crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. The disciples came to him and asked, why do you speak to the people in parables? He replied, because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. You will be ever hearing but never understanding. You will be ever seeing but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their eyes, and they hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. Note, understand with their hearts. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in the heart, not the mind. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. I would like to just suggest two things. Two keys to really understanding the Word of God. And the first is this: listen. Listen. Mark records for us, before Jesus taught this parable, he said, listen. He was calling the heart and the mind of the people to attention. Pay attention. Understanding the Word of God requires a readiness to listen. As simple as that. A readiness to listen. And there's a difference between hearing and listening. Right? We all know that. Okay? Let me read to you a definition of hearing and definition of listening. What's the difference? Hearing is simply the act of perceiving sound by the ear. Today you hear me. If you are not hearing impaired, hearing simply happens. Listening, however, is something you consciously choose to do. Listening requires concentration, so that your brain processes meanings from words and sentences. And listen to this. Listening leads to learning. Listening leads to learning. Someone once said, the difference between hearing and listening is paying attention. You've been to wedding dinners, right? I pity the band. The band will play, but nobody listens. Sometimes it's like that. Nobody listens. You know, in Hebrew, the word listen means this. Listen attentively. Pay close attention. Reflect. To reflect on what is heard. To meditate. But ultimately, listening means to obey. Listening in Hebrew means listening to obey. And for that to happen, you need to pay attention to what is being said. And the truth is this. There are more hearers than listeners. Most people tend to be hard of listening rather than hard of hearing. I repeat that. Most people tend to be hard of listening than hard of hearing. So Jesus said, sorry, what's happening now? Okay, there's a verse supposed to come out. Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. I put up this picture. My son carries a little red book to church every Sunday. Okay. In communist China, they always carry this little red book, okay, extolling the greatness of communism. Today, they carry a different book, extolling the virtues of capitalism. Money is king, cash is king. My son carries a little red book. It's his sermon book. And this is a page from his sermon book. Why does he carry a sermon book? Because we are training him to listen. To pay attention. So what he does is that he copies the slides. Let's see what is in his sermon book. My sermon book, name Joel Chu. First page, fittingly, Jeremy Chu. Return to the Word. Next sermon, Uncle Chun. The scriptural roots of ministry. Christ and his Valentine. Next one, Uncle Seng Hock. He even drew the stage and the curtain. Uncle Tot, T-O-T, Uncle Tot. Auntie Cindy. Happy Mother's Day. We're training him to listen. Training him to pay attention. So that he doesn't just hear, he listens. I picked this up from Seng Hong and Emily. Do you know that after the sermon every Sunday during lunchtime, they debrief? The family will debrief. What did you hear? What have you learned? What struck you from the sermon? I think that's a great thing to do. I believe the parable of the soil is a warning, among others, a warning to people who have unhearing ears. A warning to people who are hard of listening, people who have consciously chosen not to pay attention. There are people who come and say, I'm not going to pay attention, no matter what happened to Jesus. You know, when I started training to become a teacher, one of the first things I learned was, you know, when you teach, you make sure you get the content through to your student. So don't just speak. Use teaching aids. You know, research has shown that if you read, You just read, you only remember 10%. If you hear, what do you think? 20%. If you see, 30%. If you see and you hear, 50%. If you say and write, 70%. But if you do, 90%. I think it's quite safe to say that whatever I say today will be forgotten by lunchtime, okay? People who have consciously chosen not to pay attention. Jesus talked about a heart condition, about people whose heart has become calloused. You see, this is the first time ever Jesus spoke in parables. Why did he speak in parables? In researching this, I found this interesting thing that Bob Deffenbaugh said. He said, parables are designed to cloud the truth rather than to clarify it, to conceal the truth rather than to reveal it. It doesn't make sense. Why would Jesus want to conceal the message? Why would Jesus want to hide the message? Was it his intention to keep his listeners in the dark, in ignorance? You know, just a few days ago, Suhin sent a message in our WhatsApp group. A picture of a chicken and a picture of a goat, you know, in response to a question I asked, are you coming or not? A picture of a chicken and a picture of a goat, you know. That really stumped me. Do you know what he was trying to say? I thought he was going to bring fried chicken and soup kambing, okay? But apparently that was not what he was trying to communicate. What is chicken in Malay? Ayam. What is goat in Malay? Kambing. So put the two together, ayam kambing. So if you say quickly enough, it means I am coming. Ayam kambing. But in the end, the ayam did not kambing. Like that, sometimes we read the Word of God, it's a whole big parable. But let me tell you this, it's not his intention to hide. Ray Stedman says, the parables are hidden to those who do not pay attention. Let me read that again. The parables are hidden to those who do not pay attention, who do not listen, but open to those who do. If you do not listen, it remains concealed. But if you do pay attention, you will understand. That is why Jesus' constant warning all the way through is this: he who has ears to hear, let him hear. God did not harden the people's heart. The people themselves hardened their hearts. God did not dull their hearts. God did not stop their ears from listening. God did not close their eyes. They did it themselves. They hardened their own hearts. And as a result, they became spiritually blind, spiritually deaf. They became cold, insensitive, unfeeling, unresponsive to spiritual things. So understanding really is a matter of the heart. And just now I pointed out to you, Jesus said, the evil one snatches away what was sown in the heart, not the mind. And the word heart, I read through the Hebrew Greek keyword study Bible. The heart is the word cardia. I suppose that's where you get the word cardiology, cardia. Yes, Josiah. Fanning the word to flame. The seat of the intellect, meaning understanding. In the New Testament, the heart represents especially the sphere of God's influence in the human life. It is in the heart that the natural knowledge of God has its seat. And in the parable of the soil, Jesus used four types of soil. He describes four types of soil. And he used these four types of soil to describe four conditions of the heart. Three negative, one positive. And for each of the three negative conditions of the heart, Jesus provided a solution to address that condition. Now the seed is powerful. The seed has potential. And just now at the SRM discussion group, David Strong was sharing how, you know, recently he saw the road, was it in front of your house? Road being paved. And just a few days later, he saw a plant coming out, pushing through the hard bitumen, the power of the seed. Jesus in Mark chapter 4, he said that, verse 27, night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. The seed will sprout and grow. And then verse 28, all by itself, the what? The soil. Not the seed. All by itself, the soil produces corn. The soil. Four soils. Four destinies. The type of soil into which the seed or the word of God is sown will determine whether the potential of the seed is released or not. The type of soil. The crux of the parable is the condition of the soils into which the seed is dropped. There are various kinds of soil upon which the seed can fall. The soil, of course, is the human heart. Wherever the heart, the word is sown, four kinds of soil are usually present. Four conditions of the human heart to which the word speaks. That's from Ray Stedman. And he said that, you know, the four heart conditions are here today. At the risk of causing offense, probably here today, all four heart conditions. Let's look at each soil. The soil will determine the destiny. The soil will determine whether the seed of the Word of God will come to fruition or not. First, the seed along the path. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path and the birds came and ate it up. And Jesus described soil that is hardened because it was trodden by the traffic of human feet. And this is a description of a heart that is hardened. A heart that is unbelieving. A heart that is cynical. The word comes. The hearer does not understand it. The idea is not that they could not understand. It is not they could not understand, but they do not try to understand. They do not take time and effort to understand. So Jesus is talking about an unresponsiveness. There's an unresponsiveness to the Word of God. But he's also talking about something else. He's talking about a rejection. Why is it going the other way? Can you please move the slide for me? Thank you. In Luke chapter 8, in the same parable, Jesus said that the seed was trampled on. The seed was trampled on. I believe Jesus was talking about a rejection. You trample on something that you think is not of any value. So Jesus was describing a situation where the word was not carefully treated. The word was considered unimportant, treated with disdain, unworthy of consideration, trampled on. And so the seed that was sown along the rocky path was not implanted in the heart, never went into the heart, laid on the path, but it does not remain there for long. What happens is that the birds will come and eat it. It becomes food for the birds. And Jesus says the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown. A cynical, unbelieving heart is fertile ground for Satan, who, like a swift raven, snatches away the seed of the heart, the seed of the heart ground, removing any possibility that it might take root. If the seed gets implanted, there's a chance something might happen. But if it is snatched away, nothing happens. No chance of anything happen. No chance of life, new life, birth from that seed. You know, as a teacher, I have many, many experiences with unhearing ears. I've got students who will never hear, never listen, no matter what you say. It's like casting pearls before swine. As this particular student, he comes to school to sleep. I kid you not, he comes to school to sleep. First period, he's sleeping. So my principal was all worked up. Hauled him up, brought him to her office, set him down before the principal so that the principal could give him good advice. You know what? Before 1 minute, he was snoring. She got so mad. Call the father, call the father. Unhearing ears. To those with unhearing ears, to those whose heart is hardened, hard like the soil along the rocky path, Jesus says this. Can you please move the slide? It's not moving. Except Mark 4, verse 20. Others like seed grown, sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it. Accept. Receive. Take the word of God. Receive the word of God. Allow the word of God to be implanted in the soil of the heart. Think about the word of God. Reflect on the word of God. Meditate on the word of God. Second type of soil. It talks of seed that fell on rocky places. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. And Jesus was not describing soil with rocks. Rather, he was describing a shallow, thin layer of soil upon a rocky shelf. And so what kind of heart condition was he describing? I believe he was referring to a person who is shallow. Shallow and superficial, a person who has no root. A person who does not put down any root at all. Consequently, a person like that is unstable. Unstable. I want us to note that because they have no root. Verse 21, since they have no root. Now, let me back up, okay? Verse 20 tells us the seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. This person is unlike the first person. He receives it. He accepts it. He hears it. He receives it into his heart with joy. Positive, enthusiastic response. Immediate response. But for a short time. He quickly falls away in times of trouble and persecution because of the word. Because of the word. Because this person fails to understand that the word not only speaks of blessing, the word also speaks of the cost of following Jesus. You know, I like what Bob Deffenbaugh said in his exposition on this passage. He said it is the result of selective hearing. Do you know we are all selective hearers? We hear selectively. Hearing only the good and pleasant things rather than hearing the cost involved in discipleship. People like these respond positively to the word because they think it is a kind of prosperity gospel. A gospel which promises only good times, blessing, happiness, and bliss. The quickness of response is an indication of their lack of depth or their lack of perception as to what the gospel really means. What is the cost here? Obedience. But if all we want to hear is blessing, wealth, health, then when we come to the part of the word that talks of sacrifices, dying to self, denying self, we quickly fall away. Pastor Ray Stedman has another word for people like that. He said, people like these are seasonal. When the season is on to believe the gospel, they believe it. But when the season changes, they will drop right back. They will not continue. They are seasonal. They live on the surface. They are emotional. There is no depth in their life. Nothing goes deep into their heart. When the gospel reaches this kind, they receive it with joy. They think it is great. They are enthusiastic. But when the season changes and tribulation and persecution come, when it is no longer a warm, glorious day for the word, but it becomes cold and frosty, immediately they are gone. They wither and they die. People who are shallow. You know, today we have many, many visiting speakers, many, many seminars, many, many conferences. They are all good. But I'm wary of people who come and promote this conference and that conference and say, attend and your life will be changed. My brothers and sisters, attending conferences and seminars will not change your life. Obedience to the word will change your life. You know, over time, I've had the opportunity to help some students. Let me tell you of the case of these three boys. Douglas would know them. Now I don't even remember their name. Hafiz. I can't remember the other two names. So. Three brothers did not come to school. Then I found out earlier in the year the father had passed away. And so went to visit, found out they couldn't come to school because they had no money to buy school uniform. No money to buy school uniform. So some of you very generously contributed. Took them out, Douglas and myself, took them to this place, bought them uniform, shirt, pants, shoes. Asked them, what have you been eating? Sometimes nasi eating and kicap. Plain rice with soy sauce. So took them out for lunch. Arranged for them to come to school. Told them, When you come to school, don't worry about exercise books and all that. All that will be taken care of. I met the mother at Tesco. The mother said, my son, my elder son needs spectacles. I said, come to school, I will make sure he gets spectacles. Arrange for them to go to school with the teacher who lives next door to them. All you have to do, I told the three boys, at 7:15, go over to the next door, knock on the door, wait for the teacher, get into the teacher's car, and come to school with the teacher. First day, I say, see you on Monday. Monday, no show. Tuesday, no show. Ask the teacher what happened. I knocked on the door, there was no sign of life. Wednesday, I called, about 9 plus, a sleepy voice answered the phone. Oh, we couldn't wake up. All ready to go to school, new uniform. But when it comes to waking up early, and unfortunately, these three boys were expelled from school. In our system, if you don't come to school continuously for 30 days, you are expelled automatically. To the one whose heart is hardened, Jesus says, accept the word. To the one whose heart is shallow, Jesus says, retain. Keep the word. Keep the word. Retain the word. Keep possession of the word. Do not discard it. Keep the soil, the seed in the soil. Keeping it in the soil will keep alive the possibility of growth and fruitfulness. What's also needed is a deepening of the soil. It means to just grow in maturity. We need to deepen the soil. We need to build spiritual capacity. And we also need to do something about that rocky shelf. We need to break it. Jesus said, retain. And then thirdly, he talked about seed that fell among thorns. Jesus said, other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. And he was talking about people who hear, understand, and people who have responded favorably. And these people were not shallow in their understanding, and you could see life, you could see growth. There are signs of life and growth. But, unfortunately, no maturity. There is no fruit. The seed does not mature. So the issue here is not a lack of understanding. It's not a lack of knowledge. What's the issue here? A lack of dedication. A lack of commitment. Someone suggested that this person, this kind of person, has not gotten rid of the cares and the pleasures of the world. Jesus said the seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. I think it speaks of a divided heart. The trouble is this kind of person wants it all. He wants the fruitfulness of life that comes from the gospel, but with it, he wants everything else. He wants everything that the world can offer and everything that God can offer. It's kind of like a description of myself. The result is that he has no time to think about the word, no time to receive it and meditate. He is too wrapped up with the cares of the world and pursuit of things. He wants to follow God. He wants to obey. But he also wants the pleasures of life. Jesus said, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. And so consequently, what we have is a divided heart. A heart where you find conflicting allegiance. A heart that is choked. And anxiety and concern for money and pleasure will outgrow this desire to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. To this group of people, Jesus has this advice. Next one. Okay, this one. Persevere. Move it back one slide, please. Okay, yeah. Do you see that? Breakthrough. Persevere. Jesus said the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering. Don't give up. Hang on. You know, Job had problems. The wife said, you better curse God and die. And Job said, no. Job hung on. You know, one of the verses that really was a great encouragement to me, a great comfort to me, is this verse from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. This promise of God's grace, the sufficiency of God's grace, helped me through a very difficult time in my life. Very, very difficult. Time when I wanted to throw in the towel. But by His grace, I persevered. I want to talk to you about SRM. Let me be honest, it's difficult. It's difficult. It's not easy. And I told you that, you know, my son will be doing it. You know, this is one page, two pages from his SRM book. I read his answers, some not so correct. Nah, huh? But that's not the point, you know. That's not the point. Just like I'm training him to pay attention, be serious whenever the word of God is released. I'm also training him and wanting him to discipline himself to study. It is not the answer that is most important. It is the process. It is the process of studying, of disciplining himself to look at the Bible, to think of the questions, and to try to find the answer. Trying to find the answer, trying to understand, is more important than finding the answer. You know, I asked some of the cell group leaders, how are the members of your group doing? One of them said, I think some of them have given up already. You must be like that. Don't give up. Some say, well, go cell group, must do homework. It's not doing homework. It is not doing homework. Some don't want to come. I didn't do, so I better not come. Empty page, you know. Come. Persevere. There's this famous guy who wears a red beret and wears military garb. He says, keep it up. Keep it up. Don't give up. You can do it. So Jesus says, accept. Retain, persevere. And then finally, he talks about seed that falls on good soil. Oops. Still other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown. Good soil, soil that is not hard, soil that is not shallow, soil that has no thorns, soil that is not overgrown with thorns. And Jesus, Luke records for us and tells us what this heart is like. He describes it as a noble and good heart. A noble and good heart. You know, I've learned a lot from this person, Brian Morgan. I just enjoy reading his sermons. One of his sermons, Are You Listening? This is what he noted. In his interpretation of the good soil, Jesus uses the adjective kalos. Kalos, which means not only good, but also beautiful or noble, suggesting that the soul has become a garden of enduring beauty. What makes it so beautiful is that the word has not only taken root, it has grown unencumbered by threatening thorns so that it is able to mature and reproduce with a bountiful crop. The reality is that God's word is not only received and implanted in the heart, but it is held fast. I don't know how to pronounce that word. A term which means to keep in one's memory, to retain it faithfully, to keep in one's possession. If we treasure the word, we will hide it in our heart until the very DNA of the word transforms our affections to love God and our neighbor with our whole heart, reproducing itself 100-fold. In contrast to other hearers, the good hearers welcome the word immediately so that Satan cannot snatch it away. They welcome it deeply so that persecutions cannot cause them to apostatize. They welcome it exclusively so that other concerns do not stifle it. And in its abundance of a hundredfold more than, and its abundance of a hundredfold more than cancels out the threefold failure of the seeds that fell on bad soil. The sower does not discriminate the soil. The sower sows everywhere. He gives every chance to everyone to experience life. And I like Henry Nouwen in one of his meditations. I think he captures what it means to have the DNA of the word transform our hearts. This is what he said. If we let the words of the Bible enter into our minds and descend into our hearts, we become different people. Thus, the word gradually becomes flesh in us and thus transforms our whole beings. Thus, spiritual reading is a continuing incarnation of the divine word within us. If we let in and through Jesus, the Christ God became flesh long ago. In and through our reading of God's word and our reflection on it, God becomes flesh in us now and thus makes us living Christ for today. In and through the reading or the hearing of God's word and our reflection on it, God becomes flesh in us. And that's such a powerful, powerful truth. Letting Christ be formed in us. In this parable, there's a solemn warning. Jesus said, whoever has will be given more. And they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have, will be taken from them. Very difficult to understand. What is he talking about? Shouldn't he give to those who do not have so that everybody will have? But here he's saying to give even more to those who have. I think this is a good answer. Ray Simon says there's a principle here. There's a spiritual principle here. Truth must be acted upon in order to be retained. You need to act on it in order to be retained. Keep it or lose it. Use it or lose it. Truth rejected or unused is lost. God is constantly confronting men with truth about everything at every level of life. Man is so constructed that he's made to act upon truth. His willingness to act upon the truth he knows qualifies him for more truth. His willingness to act upon the truth he knows qualifies him for more truth. But if he does not, he loses the truth which has already been given to him. Last line. The heart of the matter in understanding the Word of God. Two things only. Number one, listen. Be attentive. Pay close attention. Reflect on what is heard. Meditate on what is heard. And ultimately, listen with a desire to obey. You know, let me talk about my boy again. Now he's part of the swimming squad. He's training to be a swimmer. Not very good. I'm more kanjong than him. So sometimes I go and watch him train. And I get very irritated because he doesn't seem to be paying attention to his coach. And I'll be... And my wife will be saying... But I tell him this, son, listen. Listen and you will learn. Listen so that you will not make the same mistakes. Listen so you can improve. And I tell him sometimes listening can save your life. And that's the truth. Sometimes just listening can save your life. And then secondly, tend your heart. Tend the soil of your heart. I believe, from studying this, I believe that when you understand, what does it mean to understand the Word of God? I think you understand the Word of God after you have gone through this process. You understand the Word of God if you accept, if you retain, and if you persevere. Keep at it. And then reap the benefit of it, which is spiritual fruitfulness. So the question is this: what kind of soil is in your heart today? What kind of soil is in your heart today? And the good news is that God is able to change your heart. Whatever the condition of your heart, if your heart is hard, God is able to break it up. If your heart is shallow, God is able to deepen it. If your heart is choked, God is able to unclutter that heart so that the wonderful life-producing Word may take root in your heart and change you. But of course, that's the role of the Holy Spirit. You know, in Mark, in the parable of the sower, when Jesus asked them, "Do you understand?" You know, they actually went to Jesus. "We don't know what you're talking about." Jesus explained. We need someone to help us. Jesus explained to his disciples. Jesus opened up the scripture, gave them understanding. Today, the Holy Spirit does this job. The Holy Spirit is our teacher today. Jesus said, "When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. The Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." So the Holy Spirit will be our teacher. You know, I want to close with this account of the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8. You know, he was reading from Isaiah, and God told Philip, go to this place, meet with this person, so that you can explain the word of God to him, so that this person can believe, come to faith in Jesus. You know what this tells me is, this is a real encouragement to me. This tells me that if I want to understand the word of God, God will bring understanding through the Holy Spirit, or he will send some teacher to me. So what does it mean to understand the word of God? Two things only, let me suggest. Listen. Listen carefully. And then make sure the soil of your heart is good so that you will be able to receive the word of God. I'm going to ask Raymond to come. You know, we're going to sing the song, Ancient Words. Let me pray first before we sing. Jesus, I want to thank you for your word to us, for this parable that you taught your disciples and the people. Lord, you remind us, O Lord, that your word is powerful. Your word can bring about such great and abundant fruitfulness. Your word can change lives, transform lives. Your word is powerful. It can change situations. It can transform situations. But though how powerful your word is, your word can be rendered powerless if our hearts are hardened, if our hearts are shallow, if our hearts are choked. So Father, I pray that in this time you will help us to see where we are. Lord, I ask, O Lord, that it will just stir us, O Lord, stir us in our spirits, stir us in our hearts deeply. Make us hearers of your word, O Lord, so that we will not miss out, O Lord, on wisdom and knowledge and understanding that you want to impart to us. So that we will not miss out on the spiritual fruitfulness and the blessings that you want to give to us through obedience. So we come, O Lord. We want to affirm, O Lord, the centrality of your word in our life, in the life of this church. We commit ourselves, O Lord, to receiving your word, to implanting your word deep in our hearts, to persevere in obedience, in holding on to your word even when times are difficult. Help us, O Lord. Let us stand as we sing this song.
Holy Word, Lord, preserve for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Words of life, words of life, words of hope, give us strength, help us cope. In this world wherever we roam, ancient words will guide us home. Ancient changing me and changing you, we have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Holy words of our faith and the death. down to this age. Come to us to sacrifice. Oh, heed the faithful words of Christ.
Holy words,
holy words, law preserved, handed down to this age. Come to us to sacrifice. Oh, heed the faithful words of Christ. An ancient word, ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart.
That ancient words, ever true, changing me.
Changing me.
Oh, and changing you.
We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart.
Ancient
words, ever true,
changing me.
Changing me.
Changing
and
you.
Changing
we have come.
We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart.
We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart.
Father, I pray, O Lord, that your word of life and your word of truth will dwell richly in our hearts. That your word, O Lord, will be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. That your word, O Lord, will help us to discern, O Lord. Help us as we encounter situations daily. Lord, I pray, O God, that we will love your word, that we will obey your word, O Lord. Dismiss us now with your blessings, O Lord. I pray that you will continue to make your face shine upon us, to let your grace and your favor be upon us, O Lord. Father, I pray, O God, that as we dismiss from this place, that we will know that God, that we bear your image, O God, that we are your ambassadors. So help us, O Lord, to be faithful witnesses as we are filled by your Spirit, O Lord. O Lord, to be faithful, to obey you, and to follow your leading. Thank you, O Lord, for your presence here. Bless us now, O Lord, as we are dismissed. In Jesus' name. God bless all of you. Have a wonderful week ahead. Please stay back for a time of fellowship and refreshments.